Randy, just confirm the message, title of the message, Pastor Mark. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here. I thank you for those who will be watching over the internet. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that the word you give me to share goes forth with your power, with your unction, to accomplish your plans and purposes, so that you would be glorified, so that you would be magnified, and so that we would be changed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone knows what tomorrow is, right? Thanksgiving. I'm going to read some things that I got out of a couple of different references talking about Thanksgiving. And it's interesting because I taught two Sundays ago on the boundaries, how we get outside the boundaries. And you know, when it comes to Thanksgiving, I think many times we've forgotten what the original Thanksgiving was established for, and we've kind of conformed to what the world does. In fact, the world has so gotten outside of being thankful to God that many times it's not even a day of Thanksgiving. It's a, they call it a turkey day. They call it a day that the Dallas Cowboys play whoever they play. And, you know, when you go back and look at what happened and how it came about, God has a different perspective. And I think sometimes we fall into that rut of, oh, it's just another day. It's a day we get off from work. It's a day that we get together with family and friends, and that's good. But we forget that it was established for prayer and thanksgiving. And somehow, Thanksgiving gets involved a little bit, but prayer's kind of gotten thrown out the window. And that's not the original intentions. And I think as a nation, we suffer for that. And I'm just going to read something here. It says, arriving in Massachusetts in late November, the pilgrims sought a suitable landing place. On December 11th, just before disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they signed the Mayflower Compact, America's first document of civil government and the first to introduce self-government. Then, after a prayer service, the pilgrims began building hasty shelters. They were unprepared for the starvation and the sickness of a harsh New England winter. Nearly half died before spring, yet persevering in prayer and assisted by helpful Indians, they reaped a bountiful harvest the following summer. There originally was 102 on the boat that came across, and half of those didn't make it through that harsh winter. They died. It says, after getting through that particular winter, the grateful pilgrims then declared a three-day feast starting on December 13th, 1621, to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends. This was not the first Thanksgiving in America. Thanksgiving services were held in Virginia as early as 1607. It was America's first Thanksgiving festival. It says, our harvest being gotten in our government sent four men on fowling, bird hunting, so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. And they had such a bountiful amount of food that they, once again, the first thing they did is it was prayer and thanksgiving. And let me shut this off. Okay, sorry for that. And then in 1798, this is what President George Washington declared. It was a Thanksgiving proclamation. And this is what he said. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially in a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday to be devoted to the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering Him our sincere and humble thanks, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to render our national government a blessing to the people, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true knowledge and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of prosperity as He alone knows to be best. President George Washington, 1798. It would be safe to say that we've gotten very far from that as a country and as a people. That's not, you just turn the TV on, you see that that's not really the heart of this country anymore. And as it said there, he decided that a Thursday should be a day in which it was chosen. But it wasn't Washington that brought about Thanksgiving. He's not the one that made it an official day in the United States. And I ran across something that was very interesting. It says, much of the credit for the adoption of a better annual or of a later annual national Thanksgiving may be attributed to Mrs. Sarah Joseph Hale. Does anyone know who that is? I didn't. The editor of Gaudy's Ladies' Book. For 30 years, she promoted the idea of a national Thanksgiving Day, contacting president after president until President Abraham Lincoln. Now, that letter that I read was in 1789, and this lady was persistent. President Abraham Lincoln responded in 1863 by setting aside the last Thursday of November as a national day of Thanksgiving. That's why we have Thanksgiving when we do. It says, over the next 75 years, presidents followed Lincoln's precedence, annually declaring a national Thanksgiving Day. Then in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as a national holiday. And it says, Lincoln's original 1863 Thanksgiving proclamation came, spiritually speaking, at a pivotal point in his life. During the first week of July of that year, the Battle of Gettysburg occurred, resulting in the loss of 60,000 American lives. 4 months later, in November, Lincoln delivered his famous Gettysburg Address. It was while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves at Gettysburg that he committed his life to Jesus Christ. As he explained to a friend, "When I left Springfield to assume the presidency, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I then and there concentrated myself to Jesus Christ." It was because of that that caused him to come to Jesus Christ. So the Lord had a part in his life in declaring Thanksgiving, but it was more than that. And see, God's purpose and plan, what the Lord showed me here, God's purpose and plan was, yeah, he thought he was declaring a national holiday, and he did. But see, God had more. God was after his soul. And I think many times during this period of time of Thanksgiving, because we've kind of strayed off of what God's heart and intention is of prayer and Thanksgiving, we're not as sensitive as we should be to those that God allows us to gather together with who are maybe spiritually not walking with the Lord. And here's the President Lincoln. He has all these tragedies happen. He sees 60,000 men get killed. And as he's walking amongst the graves of these 60,000 men, God moves upon his heart. And see, we can't limit God during Thanksgiving tomorrow. We're going to be around people and see people that we haven't seen maybe all year. And God wants us to be in prayer and have a right heart. He wants to have us a prayerful heart and a thanksgiving heart for those that we're going to be in contact with tomorrow, and be sensitive to that Holy Spirit, because there may be one person that you're talking to and you may just look at him and say, "How are you?" Well, and they will open up, and it will be a time for us to minister the life of Jesus Christ that we have within us. And many times, it's just another day to get together, to pig out, people to watch football games. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. And see, the main purpose of Thanksgiving should be prayer and thanksgiving as we feast in fellowship with one another. That should be our primary purpose: prayer and thanksgiving. But I think we've gotten away from that some. We've fallen into the same routine that the world does. God wants us to be different. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be that light amongst those in families that do not know the Lord. He wants us to be that light. And here's the question I have to ask. Do we as his children delight in blessing him with our prayer and thanks? Not just tomorrow, but all the time. Do we delight him in our prayers and our thanksgiving. Now, I said that because I want to take a look at some scriptures. And these are scriptures, once again, that we know. A lot of us have them memorized. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And while you're looking at that passage of scripture, I'm going to ask you a question. From the time you've been saved, has everything been smooth sailing? Has everything just gone perfectly as you thought it would go? I didn't see hands go up, so I would assume that's a no, okay? Because it doesn't. It doesn't go perfect. It doesn't go exactly the way we would want it. Our children don't do exactly what we'd want them to do. Our spouses don't do exactly what we think they should do. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. So what are we told to do here? Thank God in everything. It's easy to thank God when things are going good. But do we thank God in the tough times? Do we thank God when it's not going good? Honest, if we're honest, we will say, no, we don't do that all the time. But this scripture says, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. What is that will? That will is giving thanks unto God in everything. That's His heart. That's His will, to give thanks in everything. I think it was the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. They had a song, praise Him in the good times and praise Him in the bad times. Give thanks. Have you ever been in a situation where things are tough and you just don't know how you're going to get out of it? And all of a sudden, deep down in the recesses of your heart, thanksgiving starts to rise up. The Holy Spirit starts having you thank God for things He's done in your life, things He's done in other people's lives. There's just a thankfulness that just starts to come up from the inside. And the next thing you know, you don't even remember what the problem was, because of that thankfulness. And I think that's one of the reasons He says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. No matter what the circumstances may be. I don't think we're there yet. But God wants to get us there. Okay? Now, go to Colossians 3:17. We know this scripture too. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. The word thanks there means be grateful. Express gratitude. Express gratitude and be grateful in word or deed. That goes right along with what we just read in 1 Thessalonians. What does that leave out? It doesn't leave out anything. Word or deed. We're to be thankful. We're to give God thanks in everything we say and do. So I guess if we are to give God thanks in everything we say and do, I guess that gets rid of the excuse for murmuring, complaining, and griping. Because murmuring, complaining, and griping is not giving thanks in all that we say and do. We're all guilty. Every one of us is guilty. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read out the Amplified again, verses 1 and 2. It says, first of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. For kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may possess a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. Once again, prayer and thanksgiving are almost all the time mentioned together. Prayer and thanksgiving. But yet, many Christians tomorrow will celebrate Thanksgiving the same as the world does. It will be just another turkey day. It will be just another day to sit around and watch a football game. And see, God is wanting us to be different. He's wanting us to be a people that take these scriptures and not just memorize them, but he's wanting us to live out these scriptures. He's wanting us to be a people that can give God thanks in all situations and circumstances. And not just quote a Bible verse, but to actually demonstrate it. See, God, I believe with all my heart, God is setting the stage for these last days. He's getting us as a people ready that will be different, that will not be the norm, that will shine as the true lights of Jesus Christ because of our behavior, because of what we say, because of how we act. They will see that, you know, they're going through a tough time, but they're thankful. They're praying. They're praying and giving thanks. And Pastor Mark said something in one of his messages a while back. And it pricked my heart probably for about a month. And it was right after, well, I'll tell you how long it's been. Thank you, Lord. It was he was talking about how much we as Christians had prayed for President Bush versus how much we had prayed for President Obama. And I was guilty. I was guilty. But this passage of Scripture we just read here, it doesn't give names. It says, first of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. Doesn't give titles, doesn't give names. For kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility. That's been with me ever since Pastor Mark said that. Because we have to guard ourselves, because if you're in any type of contact with the world, you're going to hear people griping and complaining and murmuring and moaning about whoever is in office. But see, that's not to be our attitude. And I've been guilty of it. We are not to get involved, because our words and our deeds have to be in line with what God wants. We have to be an example. We are to be admonishing and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. We should be praying. We should be interceding on behalf of not only our president, but our senators, our House of Representatives, our leaders in Florida, our leaders in our community. But it's so easy to fall in line with the world's way and say, yeah, this person, that, yeah, they should. No, that's not. God, if God's people understand prayer and thanksgiving, nations can be changed. Countries can be changed. Remember Derek Prince, in one of his books, he was talking about how prayer changed nations. Prayer and thanksgiving changed nations. And I'm sharing this with you tonight because I don't want tomorrow, Thanksgiving, to be a normal day in your life. I don't want it to be a normal day in my life. I want God to show each and every one of us what prayer and thanksgiving can do, not just tomorrow, but every day of our life. It can change situations and circumstances. It can change people's lives. It can cause the hardest of hearts to be broken. Go to Ephesians 5:20. It says, giving thanks sometimes for some of the things of God. No, that's not what it says. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Then Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful, for that word nothing there means nobody, no one. Be careful for nobody and no one. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known unto God. See, all these scriptures we're looking at so far, there's a heart matter that's there. Are we thankful? Are we thankful when we're going through tough times? When we see another brother or sister going through a tough time, are we in prayer for that brother and sister? Giving God thanks for knowing that He will deliver them through what they're going through. And why do I say that? Because in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory. I think the victory comes as a result of giving thanks to God. Because I've heard testimonies from people in this body. All of a sudden they started praising and thanking God. And that which they were experiencing, that which was pulling them down, they got the victory. They were, as they sing at Times Square Church, the chains were broken. They were free. And I know that there is one who does not want us to be a people of prayer and thanksgiving. And that's Satan. Because Satan cannot stand thanksgiving and giving of praise to God Almighty. Can't stand it. It causes hell to tremble when God's people begin to thank Him and to praise Him and to worship Him. But yet, there's so much power. There's so much victory in prayer and thanksgiving. And God is wanting to restore it back. See, here's the scriptures that I've looked at. It's pretty clear, according to God's word, that we are to be thankful and rejoice at all times, no matter what is happening in our lives. To rejoice and be thankful. I wrote down, praise and thanksgiving to God will drive out depression, fear, and even thoughts of suicide or someone killing themselves. That's how powerful praise and thanksgiving and prayer unto God is. It has the power to set people free. Tomorrow, when we gather with family and friends, I encourage that before we get to those places that the Lord is sending us, that we cover that day in prayer and thanksgiving, and then see what God does. God's just waiting. God's just waiting. See, the pilgrims and those people, they were thankful. Yeah, they lost half the people because of severe weather and dilemmas that they had to go through. But they remained thankful. And we know in God's Word there's many times that God has reminded His people, don't forget me. Don't forget me. You know, God delivers people. God sets people free. And how quickly we lose our thankfulness. How quickly we lose our appreciation for what God has done. God's heart gets grieved. You know, I think we forget sometimes that God has feelings. And when we're not thankful for all the things He's done, I also wrote down there's power in the act of thanksgiving and praise. When was the last time I had to do this early this morning? Take out a blank piece of paper and just begin to write down the things you're thankful for. Things you're thankful for that God has done in your life. And just allow the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit to begin to show you all the things that God has done. And yet, we forget. We forget all the things that He's done. There's that one song, I forget who wrote it. If I had 1,000 tongues, I don't know whether I couldn't praise Him enough or I couldn't thank Him enough. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a thankful heart that produces praise, that produces prayer. And prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer is simply communicating with God. And if we really love our Heavenly Father, aren't we going to communicate that to Him? Aren't we going to say, we do it with our earthly parents. Dad, Mom, I'm really thankful for what you've done. Parents don't hear that enough sometimes from their children, but when they do, it's like, oh, it just melts you. Think what it does to our Heavenly Father when we just lavish Him with thanksgiving, lavish Him with praise and worship. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 50:14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name make known his deeds among the people. That's what God wants us to do. Before we get together with family and friends tomorrow, he wants us to give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds amongst the people. Because I remember Pastor Bill saying one time, people can and will argue the Word of God with you. But they can never argue what God has done for you. They can't do it. They can never deny that God didn't do this for you. They can never deny, because when you start giving thanks and you start sharing what he's done for you, because you've looked at that list and you're talking to someone, they go, well, how's your year been? Oh, let me tell you what God has done. And you start going, brrr. They don't have anything to say. They can't argue that. They're going, wow. See, we just don't know. We just don't know what God will do and what doors God will open as a result of us being a people of thanksgiving and a people of prayer. Heavenly Father, I got more, but you're telling me to stop. I'm going to be obedient, Lord. Lord, I thank you for knowing that you're wanting us to remember all the things that you've done in our lives, all the things that you've taken us through, all the things you've allowed us to experience, both good and not good. Because you know what, Lord? We can grow just as much in the things that are not good, because you can teach us the errors of our ways and cause us to be stronger, more reliant, and more clinging and looking unto you, Father, because many times the errors of our way cause us to see that we really can't do anything without you, Father. So, Lord, tonight we come before you thanking you. Thanking you from the bottom of our hearts for how great a God you are. How merciful of a God you are. How loving you are, Father. How you care for every little detail of our lives. Lord, help us. Help us not be a people that take for granted your hand upon our lives every day. That Holy Spirit that resides in us, that leads us, that guides us into all truth. Oh, help us to be more thankful, Lord. Help us to intercede on behalf of those that don't know you. And Father, we love you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, you exemplified the greatest love that man will ever see when you sent Jesus, your only Son, to die on that cross. Thank you, Father. Thank you for not leaving us comfortless, but thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for every brother and sister that's in this place. Yeah, we don't always rub each other the right way, Father. But Lord, thank you for the rubbing that goes the wrong way. Because you're just doing this to get us to fit together, to be in one mind and one accord. Thank you for the rubbing, Father. Thank you for when we don't see eye to eye. It gives us an opportunity to grab one another's hands and to pray and to seek your will and your plans and your purposes. And for that, Father, we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.